Good morning on this Sunday, May the 10th, 2020, Mother's Day. And may I wish all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. We hope it's a good day, though it may be a little bit different than normal. I'd like to begin this morning's thoughts with a verse from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, beginning at verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, or the rock of ages. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and also the book of Proverbs chapter 4. We find on this Mother's Day some thoughts that I think will be of encouragement. The first is in Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. We find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10, 28, 30, and 31, who can find a virtuous woman? And just to tease a little bit, there's another woman in the Bible who is called virtuous. Just kind of ponder that. Don't go looking in your concordance. Just ponder who else was called virtuous. But who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And then we're going to read a verse that is contrary to humanism, to abortion, to gender confusion, even to homosexuality. We find it in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28a. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. James Dobson says, children must be valued as our most priceless possessions. Abraham Lincoln, there is just one way to bring up a child in the way he should go, and that is to travel that way yourself. Never forget, God is pro-life. He is pro-life. I remember in 2006 when the high courts in Tennessee allowed the vanity plate to have across it, choose life. Life is precious. There is life in our Lord, and Jesus Christ provides us life. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 12, verse 4. So have you figured out who that virtuous woman is? Well, it's found in the book of Ruth. And it says, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Ruth 3, 11c. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1, are you there? If you are, raise your hand, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we are going to look at what I think is the greatest Mother Day verse, and beginning at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that being Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you would quickly over one page to chapter 3, and we'll read these great words from verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each mother that is watching today. Lord, we thank you for the godly mothers that we had, for those that were testimonies for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we pray that mothers watching today will have that testimony, that they love the Lord and their children knew it. And Lord, we think, though it be Mother's Day, we think of our fathers also. Lord, we pray that our fathers are godly men, that they will serve you faithfully, that they will desire their families to be church-going people. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. We'll be turning back to the book of Proverbs shortly, but we find that Paul told Timothy, I know that your faith is something that you saw in your mother and in your grandmother. What a blessing that is. I remember that my grandmother Madonna was baptized into the Covenant Baptist Church by my dad. She had accepted the Lord as her Savior at a young age, and she desired to be baptized by immersion. And I know that my dad was always very proud of that fact, that he was able to baptize his mother. My other grandmother never, as far as I know, made that confession of faith. But you never know what happens in the last hours of a person's life as they know they're nearing death. We do hope that this can be known at a later time. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, writing says, parenting is an incredibly complex assignment, and one that is perhaps more difficult now than at any other time in history. Whether facing the sinister cultural forces, from immoral entertainment to ungodly school agendas that conspire to make a parent's job tougher, or the relentless busyness of life that threatens to rob mom and dad of precious time with their kids, the challenges can be daunting. Children are precious. They should be loved and cared for. Humanism says it's unfair that a woman has this burden. God says it is a blessing. Amen. Part of our problem in our society is that we are willing to listen to too many people who are not godly men or women. And they speak things and we think, oh, that sounds good. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, you really need to consider what you've first heard or read. May I say this to parents and grandparents, and mark it down. I don't know if any of you are taking notes this morning, but maybe you should write these three thoughts down, you that are parents and grandparents. Number one, model the truth. Model the truth. The truth is important. We find in 2 Thessalonians they didn't want to believe the truth. We find that there are those who want to change the truth, but you should model the truth. Number two, create a desire to love and serve God. Create a desire. In other words, let your children see that you love the Lord and that you desire to serve him, that it's not a burden, that when you pack the car up to go to church, it's with a joy and not a frustration. So create a desire to love and to serve God. I remember growing up as a child, there were certain things my mother taught me without ever saying a word. One of them was that you shopped at the A&P. And so that's where I was going to shop as a newlywed, was at the A&P. She also taught me that when you went to look for clothes, you went to Oakland Mall, you went to Hudson's, and you went downstairs to the basement part, because that's where the reduced things were. And that's what I did as I began shopping for myself as a teenager. I remember when my mother says, you're old enough to buy your own clothes, you will no longer be getting your allowance. Boy, that was a shock. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I knew what to do. I knew to go to Hudson's at Oakland Mall. You know, as parents, we teach our children things without ever saying a word by our examples. So model the truth, create a desire to love and serve God. And number three, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and them. You know, there are times in which parents, they don't want their children to surrender to go into the ministry. They think, well, that's not going to be good. It's going to be difficult, and financially it isn't the top of rung. But the fact of the matter is, if that's what the Holy Spirit wants, then you do them a disservice to direct them another way. So model the truth, create a desire to love and serve God, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and them. Are you in the book of Proverbs? I hope that you're there. Proverbs chapter 4. And it's from here that we get the title of our message today. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And if you would, the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 20. Solomon says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Keep thy heart with all diligence. I have 7 points that I'd like to bring to you in our remaining time. Number one, the heart can be a deceitful place. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah 17, and I'll read that to you, verses 9 and 10. The heart can be a deceitful place. Verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It's deceitful. And folks, we see a lot of deceit in our world today. I've been talking to a number of people, both church and non-church, and I find that the majority of them say this: they don't know what to believe or who to believe. What has caused that cynicism? What has caused that doubt? It's the fact that too many people have lied to us. The liberal media keeps a certain agenda constantly before us, and it's hard to know who to follow and who to listen to. Because the heart is a deceitful place. Number two, the heart can be a sinful place. If you would, the book of Acts chapter 8, it is a sinful place. You know, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are those who say, oh, I haven't sinned. I've never murdered anybody. I've never wronged anybody. Well, the fact of the matter, all of us sin with our thought life. And the heart can be a sinful place. We read here in the book of Acts, beginning at in chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of money may be purchased that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. But I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon, and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Thou hast thought that you can purchase the gift of God. There are those who think they can get the gift of God of eternal life through some man-made way. It cannot be done. I find it interesting. Preach the word. It doesn't say entertain. It doesn't say make your congregation get all excited and jump around. No, it says preach the word. And we're told, be still and know that I am God. Come before him in a humble way, with a contrite heart. The heart can be deceitful. The heart can be sinful. The heart can be an adulterous place. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is speaking, part of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll begin reading at verse 27. Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, we know that to be part of the Ten Commandments, and we know that we are to live moral lives. But notice what Jesus said. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in her heart, or his heart, in his heart. And so the heart can be an adulterous place. We have to be careful what comes in through the eye gate. We must be careful as to where we go and what we see. So the heart is a deceitful place. It is a sinful place. It is an adulterous place. But thank God it's a place of confession. The heart can be a place of confession. If you would, the book of Romans chapter 10. Great words from this chapter in the book of Romans that talks about salvation. And in Romans chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 9 and verse 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is very important that we understand that it's not just to believe that Jesus was. It's not just to believe that we celebrate every December 25th the birth of Christ. It's not just that we believe that he was a good man, that he did miracles. We need to believe more than just that. We need to believe that he is God, part of the Trinity, and that he came for a purpose. And that purpose was to die because of our sinful natures. But we must have not only this belief, but we must have faith. We must have faith that Jesus did this, that he is the very Son of God. I've used this illustration on many occasions. The Zewaukee Bridge on I-75. Many of us remember when they were building, I think it was the northbound part of the bridge, that there were some construction issues. And in the beginning, people were leery of going over the bridge. Now today, as you're heading north on I-75 or south on I-75 and you come near the Zewaukee Bridge, you can believe that it is stable and that it will hold you. But if then you go around on the bypass, that means you only believe it can. You don't have faith that it can. Faith says, I don't slow down, I go up over the bridge, and I don't worry about it. See, one is belief, the other is faith. And so we need to realize we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. The other day, my wife asked if we could have some green beans, and we had a can of green beans. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When I bought that can of green beans, I believed that it was green beans and not lima beans. I had faith that Del Monte would not make that mistake. And so when she opened it the other day, what was inside? Green beans. Because we have faith. And we need to have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a fixed place. Psalm 108. A fixed place. We'll read verse 1. It says, Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and praise thee, even with my glory. My heart is fixed. I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for many a year. Well, many a decade now. We need to be strong in our faith. What we believe in the good times, we should believe in the rough times. And though we are concerned about the times that we're going through right now, and many are questioning the legality of being quarantined, we find, is your heart fixed on the Lord? Are you confident that he is in control? I hope that you are. I hope your mind is fixed on the Lord. How many points did I say I had? I think I said 7. We're coming to point 6. The heart can be a determined place. The book of Daniel. But you already knew that, didn't you? Daniel chapter 1, and we'll go to verse 8, Daniel chapter 1. We know the thoughts that are here. Daniel has been chosen to be a special person in the service of Nebuchadnezzar, and so they have to get him presentable. They're going to teach him all kinds of things, and they're wanting to make sure that he looks good and healthy, and they have a special diet that they're going to give him. And it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been taught by their Jewish forefathers that there were things that you ate and there were things you did not eat. And they were going to be fed things that they were told were unclean. And they determined, they purposed in their heart not to go that way. And there are times in our lives that we are going to have to purpose to do the right thing. And sometimes it's costly. Daniel realized it could have cost him his position and could have been removed from the program that would have prepared him. But God had plans for Daniel. and he was used mightily of God, but it began with this stand. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Which brings us to number 7. The heart can be a place of compassion. Back to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. Psalm 78, and you probably say, well, why didn't you just do it when you were there? Well, it wasn't in the right order. But Psalms chapter 78, we'll read verses 37 and 38. A place of compassion. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up with his wrath. When we think about the Lord, yes, he is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. But he's also a God of judgment. He hates sin. And there are times that he probably feels like, why? But he's merciful. And we can thank God for that mercy, for that compassion. Take your Bibles, though, as we conclude to the book of Jude. And we find that not only does our Lord have compassion, but we are to have compassion. The book of Jude, and we'll begin reading at the verse, or at the 22nd verse. Compassion. In our world today, there are those who are in need of compassion. And it says in verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. When we show someone their need of salvation, we're showing them compassion. And we should do it with a compassionate heart, not being judgmental, for all have sinned. And so we deserve hell until we accepted Christ as our Savior. We need to share with them their need of salvation and show them compassion, even as it says here, we pull them even out of the fire. What fire? The fire of hell. What a terrible thing death will be to the lost, to the one that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, as they suffer the wrath of God. God will not allow the death of his Son to go in a way in which people refuse it. He wants to forgive. He wants to give that unspeakable gift. But one must be willing to accept it. And how can they accept it unless they are told? How important it is that during this time that we are faithful to our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Again, Lord, we thank you for mothers who have decided to serve you faithfully, to be a model of what one should be, to desire their children to see the love in their heart for the Lord. And Lord, we pray that they would allow the Holy Spirit to guide them and also their children. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.